All right. John 11, starting in verse 1. We're still studying examples of faith.
Now, just thinking about the environment these folks lived in. They didn't have telephones, TVs, all the electronic gear. They lived in little small houses, it seems like.
They
mostly word of mouth is how communication took place, runners or whatever. So they hear about Jesus, and a story is told. So his reputation is made by people telling stories.
But nobody believes the stories unless they were there.
Yeah, but I think that's what we're going to talk about here, is somebody who did believe the story, perhaps. Let's find out.
All right. Verse 1, chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Remember, there were two, the Highland Park and the University Park of Jerusalem, were Bethany and Bethpage. Bethany was the rich one, and Bethpage was richer than most of them, but not as rich as Bethany. And that's where Mark's father had been an early follower of Jesus, according to legend. And that's why he had prepared the upper room for before Jesus even asked them to, so for Passover. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And here, there's a handful of people it says he loved. And it's the word love, if I remember right, I'm almost sure it is this, is the word, the word that means they were friends, not that he loved them any more than anybody else, but or less than anybody, but they were friends. Okay? Verse 6, when he had heard that therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now where was he? Anybody remember? I don't. I think he was in Galilee. But anyway. And it's 75 miles from, and about 70 miles, from Capernaum to Jerusalem. A little bit less, but it was something, a trip they could make in 2 days, walking fast.
Well, they sent a messenger to him, it says here.
Yeah, I know. But maybe he wasn't. I'm just saying that. Yeah. If it was Bethany, I mean, if it was Galilee. It says if we read the thing before, but I forgot. Yeah. I don't feel like doing that. In verse 7, then after that, he saith to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of his world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. You know, he didn't even address their concerns. It's just he always does that. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. And then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleepeth, he shall do well. Sleep was the most important understanding of what you were healed from of anything. Sleep indicated healing to them.
You mean death? Sleep meant death?
Here it does, but normally the word sleep is a word. He can sleep, therefore he's not really sick.
Oh.
Or he's been healed.
Oh.
That's what I mean.
Oh, all right.
And verse 13, however, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go on to him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. I don't feel like going into that one. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain him in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then Martha said unto him, Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God shall give it to thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come unto the world. And when she had said so, she went away and called Mary her sister, secretly saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha had met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out and followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind and have caused that even this man should not have died? And Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take you away the stone. Martha and the sister of him that was dead saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. Now, you remember we've talked about this several times, but the Jews always believed for ages, back into early part of their existence, that the death angel comes on the fourth day and drops something on it that causes the body to rot. That was the whole idea. And then once the body starts rotting, it has a terrible smell, if any of you have been around it. And so in order for Jesus to have made this miracle be truly an outstanding miracle, he had to have been more than 3 days dead. And I believe that's why he stayed where he was. And what didn't come as soon as they told him about it. And it's a long, there's a long rant about what they believed about the first 3 days, but resurrection was possible. That's not a, as a not a miracle if it happened in those 3 days.
And he kept saying from the very beginning that you're going to see the glory of God, the glory of God. So, like, there's a setup here that he knew what he was going to do.
Oh yeah.
So it was all calculated. It wasn't accidental.
Well, let's go on. In verse 38, Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and the stone lay upon it. We did write that already. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone, and the place where he was, where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he said thus, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto him, loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what thing Jesus had done. Now, what is the faith here? Why? What is the example of faith?
Believing in him.
Hmm?
Believing in him. Seems. I'm not sure what you mean by example.
Well, that's what we've been studying, showing the radical examples of faith where someone was healed or the thing was done instantly. All that. So in this, it doesn't appear that's what it is. But it is, if you read, that's what Mary and Martha both said, that you can heal him. So that is the example of faith. Even though he was dead, that Jesus was there, he was going to be healed.
Didn't they quit believing? It seemed like they believed if he had been there, he wouldn't have died. He could have been afraid.
No, but look at...
Like he told her, if you believe, didn't I tell you if you believe, you would see the glory of God?
Yeah, but that's the one place. There's a,
yeah.
Maybe it's just America. Well, where is it? Oh, I can't remember. It's an example where either, it's not both of them. It's either Mary, I think it's Mary that said it. That he can raise him from the dead. But anyway, we can go on. That's not what
it
was.
Just as a kind of belabor that point a little bit, it's like part of the example, as I brought a second here, is Jesus, more than believed, he kind of knew
Well, that's not the... No, we're not talking about Jesus' belief. That's an automatic bind of Christ. And so whatever he saith, the Father doeth for him. But I'm talking about the faith of others to believe in whatever it is at the time. And that's what I desire for our faith.
But I'm trying to point... He made a public show of what he did. And he said these things so that others would hear. It wasn't like he knew he was going to do it. He just did it. He put on a...
Yeah, well, what was the precursor? This was a precursor for his death and resurrection. And so the whole thing was to tick off the Jews more, because he knew the Pharisees were there. And that's what the next verse is. Well, let's look at it. Look at 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." Then one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest the same year, said unto them, "You know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for this one to that one man should die for the people instead of the people, and the whole nation perish not." And this he spoke not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not only for that nation, but that he also gathered together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. And so then from that day forth, they really had the beginning of the serious thing of putting him to death. Now this was just the Sabbath before, no, I don't know, it was the Sabbath or not, I forget. It was just a few days before his own crucifixion. And so that's why this was a setup to either cause people to be able to believe when he said he was going to be resurrected, or to really anger the Jews more so that they would, in fact, crucify him. But that's the reason this event happened just before Passover. Now, the other thing that happened is, you know, it says that multitudes of people came. Well, it's in chapter 11, or chapter 12, the next chapter. It's about this huge event they had honoring Lazarus. And it was... Well, anyway, I'm going all... Well, let's read it since I mentioned it. Chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. Then they made him a supper. It was the Sabbath before. It was the Agape feast, or for the Jews, the mini Passover, if you will. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now, can you imagine the first of all, it seemed like all the world was coming back for this. I mean, this Passover, because everybody knew it was this end of the 70th week of years of Daniel. And so the Jews had been coming for years getting ready for this event, because everybody, the strongest, I mean, almost even the Pharisees believed in the 70th week of Daniel, but they didn't know. They said it must be another couple days or a couple weeks or whatever. But this was like no other thing that the Jews ever had in terms of the numbers of people that had come to that Passover. And so they were all over the place. So that's why Mark and Cleophas... They were out all at the edge of the 12 miles, the Sabbath day's journey, at whatever that town was that they were at, instead of being in. Normally, all the houses in Jerusalem were built with an upper room, and it was all about hospitality. It was the place where the pilgrims could stay when they were there. Now, what the pilgrims did is they gave the hides of the sacrificial animals. Everybody had to sacrifice during the feast days. Then they gave them to the, if they didn't have any money, they gave the sacrificial, the coats of the animals, which had a lot of value over the years. But anyhow, they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus, one of them that sat at the table with him, then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, well, except we know about that. And let's go down to verse 9. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, that Lazarus was there, and came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus to death also, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So all this was taking place in the suburbs of Jerusalem. Now, the next day is when Jesus entered Jerusalem. So that would have been on the 10th day of Nisan, when for 1,500 years they'd been inspecting the lamb that was to be slain to make sure that they couldn't even have two things of hair coming out of one follicle when they were really doing it. And so now it was all a forerunner on the 10th of Nisan that Jesus would inspect the lamb. And what happened? For those 4 days, he said the hardest sayings that have ever been said on earth. And all the people that would come based on that hearing and would believe based on all that, now he pushed them all away so that everyone would crucify him, including us. But the faith the reason we study this is not just what I said earlier, but it's to repeat again that what Caiaphas spoke as a prophecy, and so for that matter, he became, except for John the Baptist, he became the second prophet in 400 years, unless you include Jesus the prophet. And so when the high priest Caiaphas spoke that it was expedient that one die to save the nation, but not only the nation, the whole world, then that's the message to us. If we but believe, but our belief system becomes more and more advanced, if you will. That's why we believe, and our sins are forgiven, and that's glorious. But that's not what he intends for at least part of the body of Christ. And that is that the faith be total. So that whatever you say will be done for you by my Father. And that you would be, had no truck with the world. That you would be in him and him in you alone. And there would be no other interference. No other, because that's the whole, if you think about the bride being formed, just like our human body is formed. It's got all kinds of different. And some, they all are equally important. But and so we don't have the right to say that, well, our group is this or that. We might be the pimple on the ass or something. I think I said that once when I shouldn't have. But the point of it is that we must see that the end of faith that God desires is total. It's radical. It has nothing to do with the world. It has nothing to do with anything that you can see, feel, hear, touch, or smell. It has nothing to do with anything that's visible. And so that's what the faith that I believe we should go, or we are going after that. That is the faith that should have this radicalness, that whatever you say will be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. And that's everything in me says that's what I need to concentrate on until the end comes, my end or whatever, to cause repentance to be so total that you have not even a little toe in the world, not even a fingernail. I'm not saying anybody is there, but I'm saying that should be your understanding of faith. The radical of us. Never think that where you are is okay. Does that communicate? That's the radical faith. It's my desire for this, this group, people that listen to me. Anybody have any response?
I just got a little better glimpse of the typology in those days. The Romans were the world that they had made an appeasement to, and that's why they didn't want Jesus in there mucking it up. And then because the Romans would not support them any longer, they would kill them. And so typologically, we've made an appeasement with the world. And we're still like friends with
same
the world.
Thing.
It's the same scenario, just different environment.
And that's what I've been trying to say for 40 some years now. It's like, faith. You know, your sin is forgiven is wonderful. But from God's point, that's the merest of beginnings. He wants us to go from that point to living only, existing only on the mercy seat, never finding a reason to come off of it. And that's the rarest faith in the world. But it's what God desires that we would have.
When you said that Jesus did this on purpose to piss off the Jews, so to speak, to kick off the rest of the scenario of his life, it's like he pushed the envelope to the breaking point.
Past.
On purpose.
And past the breaking.
Yeah, past. And that's what this idea of faith, and faith doesn't come till everything's broken. You know, we can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom and then try and be in faith, because there's no survival.
But my position is that's always been his position. That's the reason that most people don't study or don't place those terrible things that he said in that 4 days when they're expecting the Lamb. Because now that people reject or accept Jesus because of what they can get or whatever, but this is totally different. This is having seen that the latter rain has already come. Having seen that it's the next breath, it may be here at the end. And having no part of the garment of, which is a garment, is the righteousness of Christ, the white robe, and having no garment on, no spot on that garment, And that's the radicalness of what I teach. And it's to me, it's the only reason I'm alive, has been the only reason I'm alive for all these years, is to keep putting and pushing and pushing until we see the totality, that we live by faith alone. There's no next minute. There's no 1 second. The mind of Christ is only now. There's no taking thought for anything. And that's my prayer. Amen. Everybody understand perfectly? Take a big bite. Ha!